There are a lot of restaurants that promote farm-to-table menus, and many shoppers are thinking more now about locally sourced food. But are we thinking about that in the right way? I caught up with Raj Patel to talk more about that. He's a research professor at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. He was in town recently to speak about the world that food made at ASU's Julianne Wrigley Global Institute of Sustainability. I started our conversation by asking Patel if we're thinking about the farm-to-table concept in maybe not the most complete way.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Mark, when we think about the food system, we just think about, you know, when we hear the word system, we think about the idea of, well, you know, the farmer has decided to plant this, and then that's why we're eating what we're eating, and it's the journey from the field to the fork that is the food system. And one of the things that's really important to understand is that in many ways, it's not that the food has been made for us, it's that we have been made for our food. We have been turned into people who are eating the strangest things, things that our ancestors would have considered laughable or bizarre. And if we're going to understand the world that food made, we have to understand the history of why it is we eat what we eat and how it's all running out.
Well, so what are some of those things that our ancestors would have been aghast at that we're eating?
Well, I mean, for me, I mean, I've got no moral high ground here. So let me confess something that I had. Like, I did my dissertation powered by Red Bull, and Red Bull is, it's basically water and caffeine and sugar, and then a few amino acids that might be most often found in your own urine. But if you say to someone, hey, why don't you, if you advertise to our ancestors, hey, would you like a caffeinated sugary beverage with trace amounts of things from your pee, they would be aghast. And yet, this is the sort of thing that we've been marketed sufficiently to be able to believe that it will give us wings. And oddly, it fits into a longer history of how it is that we interact with our food system in functional ways. So, for example, in Britain, one of the most enduring and important beverages was a really nutritious, healthy drink made from local ingredients that workers had, and it helped them get through the day, and that was beer. But beer was driven out of the workplace by a different drink, a drink we now often associate with England, which is tea. But in order for tea to happen, you needed milk and water, well, those are local, but then you need tea from China and sugar from the Caribbean. And so from moving from a local and sustainable model, we moved into a very colonial model of food, but it worked better for workers who needed just to get through the day, and for employers who didn't want their workers drunk at the machinery.
Yeah, probably better not to be falling down literally on the job.
Indeed.
I mean, I'm wondering, though, using tea as an example, you know, there's such an effort now to, you know, eat locally and have locally sourced produce and meats and all sorts of things. Is it harder to do that, given sort of, as you say, what we've evolved ourselves to want to eat and drink?
Oh, I absolutely. I mean, we have been made far too comfortable with a diet that is very unsustainable. I mean, if the whole world ate like Americans do, then we would need four planets, according to some estimates. And as far as I know, we only have one planet. So we've gotten used to eating things that other people in the world will never be able to eat if we are going to be equitable. And so we do need to be thinking about a very different set of patterns of consumption.
Well, so how do you try to make that happen? Because farmers and other food producers will clearly make foods that people want to eat. So if people want other things, there has to be sort of a chicken and an egg moment here where somebody says, okay, I want something different, and somebody is able to produce that as opposed to producing the things that we're clearly wanting now or in mass quantities wanting now. And, you know, maybe that's not so sustainable.
And that's exactly right. And I think sometimes then we get led down the path of, well, look, if only everyone were eating more sustainably and locally, everything would be fine. And, I buy local and sustainable produce because I'm lucky enough to be able to afford it. But we need to make sure that everyone can afford it. And that means if we're interested in shifting towards more sustainable and local diets and supporting our farmers in the transition away from producing commodity crops to producing crops that they can earn a better living on, and that we can all be healthy with, then we don't need just to change what's on our plate, but we need to change our political approach. I mean, we need to be thinking about why it is, for instance, that 7 of the 10 worst-paying jobs in America are in the food system. I mean, we're used to cheap food because we're also used to low wages. And if we want more sustainable food, we have to pay more for it. So you're right, Mark. We do need to change the way that we demand food. But rather than just say, well, you know, if only everyone shopped at the farmer's market, everything would be fine. I'm not so much of a snob, despite my accent. I think it's much more important for workers to be earning much more so that everyone can eat healthily.
Well, how do you make that happen? I mean, I know that, for example, in this country, there are a growing number of farmers markets that will accept food stamp benefits to try to help folks who maybe don't have a ton of money to get fresh produce. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about? Or are there other efforts that also need to be undertaken to try to make it so that people of all income levels can afford to eat healthy, fresh, local produce, and the people who are growing it can afford to do that?
I absolutely agree that if it's possible for farmers markets to accept SNAP and WIC and a range of federal dollars to be able to support people in making healthy choices, that's a great thing. But, you know, there is a dignified emergency among America's poor, among the world's poor, and we need to address that through things like SNAP and nutritional support programs. But ultimately, we need to make sure that no one is on the poverty line. And with food insecurity rates as high as they are in America, a lot of Americans struggle with hunger and food insecurity. So while it's important to be able to use your dollars for sustainable produce, we also need to be making sure that people earn enough money.
All right, that's Raj Patel, research professor at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. Raj, really good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark.